Hello. Welcome to this First Thoughts edition of the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast, presented by Roni's Own Media and Roni'sOwn.com. There are a number of ways that you can stay connected and interact with the show. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/OUAT Podcast. Our email address is feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. And our voicemail line phone number is 657-333-0626. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roni from Orange County, California. And now, on with the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. This is Sunday night, January 6th, 2013, and we're back after a hiatus break, and we have just watched the cricket game.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible.
Oh, very much so. Very much so. I will be honest, it restored my love of the show back to what it was when it began.
Yes, and I had a lot of feelings, and I had a lot of things I was writing down, mm-hmm. So let's jump into it. The one thing that I was thinking about is how keeping something the same mm-hmm. is boring.
Right.
So once everybody came back, right,
mm-hmm.
and everybody was together, that's boring if we leave it like that.
Right.
Change is exciting. Doing something different, something bad coming, something happening.
Well, you have to have conflict,
right?
Because you can't have all good all the time, because that would not be right, and you can't have all evil all the time, because that would be too depressing.
Yeah.
So there has to be a balance.
So the first thing I noticed is the Lady Washington ship. Mm-hmm. Which Hook's ship was also used in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yes.
And it's also, it kind of has, the ship is kind of a show upon itself. And it has a little tour on certain ports down mm-hmm. the
Pacific Coast,
Oregon, Canada, mm-hmm. California, that mm-hmm. kind of thing. So mm-hmm. it is a well-known ship.
Right. Doesn't it have kind of an interesting history besides the movies, too? I thought it had a pretty decent history. I don't know. I'd have to look it up.
Yeah, I'd have to look it up, too.
But it wouldn't surprise me because, I mean, it's a beautiful ship.
Mm-hmm. Our good friend listener Ken did send in some info, and I will put that into a blog post about it. And he had mentioned that the ship was also spotted at Britannia Beach, which is near the Britannia Museum, which okay. is where initially the dungeons were filmed when they went to go talk to Rumpelstiltskin, I believe either that or in The Price of Gold when they went in the little underground dungeon area.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But anyhow, that was very cool and interesting. The first thing that occurred to me is that Snow White in Snow Falls has this dust that could change a troll or anything into something that you could step on.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting that Cora needed none of that. She just changed that man. And that man is probably going to come into play. The guy that just kind of wandered up and said, look, you know.
Right. Oh, the fisherman, and, you know,
right.
Which was interesting because the minute she turned him into a fish and then, you know, Hook kicked him into the bay, which I thought was kind of interesting because that's like, you know, Hook's this big bad pirate, but then he has compassion for this, you know, guy right, who's right. now a fish.
A good point, yeah. Yeah.
And then he kicks him in there, and then as they're walking and you see the long shot, you see a swan floating in the water.
Yeah, right, correct.
That's kind of an unusual thing to see because, you know, you don't just see too many swans like that.
Right, and so we've seen magic now make things appear
mm-hmm.
like a book
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
or other things,
right.
And now we see magic make things disappear.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Like a ship, for example.
Right.
So
that was also pretty impressive. to hide the ship. Because when she did that, I thought, oh, okay, so where'd she put it? Did she hide it inside of a small little crystal thing or some crazy thing like that? She's going to have to, you know... You know what I'm talking about?
Right. Yeah.
Add water and make it grow kind of a thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or add it to water to make it grow.
Yeah.
But then as we find later in the show, she just merely hit it, made it invisible.
A cloaking device.
Yeah. So invisibility cloak.
Yeah, that that Khan would have been happy with from Star Trek. So there you go. There's your Star Trek mention. You Star Trek fans out there. Okay, so... Then one of the big jokes was walking in on your parents and or your grandparents bed.
Yeah.
Now, for sure, they weren't doing anything, but they were in bed. And so the big shock joke was, you know, hey, what are you, hey, it's, you know, it's middle of the day. What are you,
why are
what
you,
are you
still
doing?
In bed?
Well, he's resting and I was helping her rest. And, you know, Emma's like, guys, you know.
And I think what's funny is that, you know, knowing
text
that,
or hang a thing on the sign or turn on a light or all the little college, you know, jokes.
Right. If she'd caught them before she knew they were her parents, I don't think she would have been nearly as embarrassed as she was.
Right.
I think she would have been like, oh, sorry, oops, and would have, you know, done something else. But you could see she was really uncomfortable because it's her parents. And then she realized, oh, crap, these people had sex to, you know, have me. And that was just, I think, you know, it's every kid's nightmare. You don't want to think about your parents having sex.
Right.
They do, unfortunately.
Yeah.
For most kids. And that really bothers kids. But anyway.
And I want to move on from this topic. So.
Okay.
Anyhow. But we had a Queen Regina moment of echoing Locke in Lost when she said, don't tell me what I can or cannot do. So.
Which part was that?
When she was up on the hill watching.
Oh, right, right, right.
The battle take place and the guards came up and said, you know, well, can't do that. Like, don't tell me.
Gotcha.
What
gotcha.
I can't do.
I just couldn't remember if she said that, where she said that. So no, thank you for clarifying that. Yeah.
So now we see that they did in fact take back the kingdom.
Right.
It was in fact King George's kingdom.
Yes.
Which is why we've seen that room with the table with, I wouldn't say it was the Zodiac signs. It's a version of the Zodiac signs. I've seen, I've had screen caps of that table before. So, anyhow. But
very clearly, they mean something. And
yes,
what we don't know, because I haven't studied it myself. So,
right.
If anybody has any ideas on that, we'd love to hear it.
If I remember, it was 12 or 13, you know, little figures or something.
Okay.
So, King George did fall, but King George still survived, which is how later he ended up.
Right,
in,
because that was the question was, you know, did what happened? How did that happen? But apparently their army is very vast, as
Snow
White said.
I'm not bashing Queen Regina, but I am just interested in the fact that not only did not more. We had very few kings anyway.
Yeah, that's
she
true.
Killed at least one,
right?
And you know, so. But the interesting thing is, I would think that more armies would have kind of come to her aid, and or on the flip side, why didn't she have an army strong enough with all the magic and all that she could possess to just. Her army could just do anything.
Well, honestly, I think the reason she didn't is because, let's face facts, she even said this a number of times herself, the people love Snow White. And they would have felt sympathy and loyalty to Snow.
Okay, fair enough.
So it would have been hard for Regina to have found people who would have supported her in the first place, let alone fought for her, knowing that there, you know, was a potential they wouldn't survive. So I think that's why she had trouble, why they were easily able to defeat her. Because if she was beloved, it would be a whole different story.
Right.
But because she killed their beloved king, who was the kindest, sweetest, most wonderful person on earth, according to Snow, I think that's why she didn't have enough support and why she, you know, she was not able to defeat them.
Parley came up again.
It did indeed.
Parley was in Pirates of the Caribbean.
A couple of times, actually.
And then also Parley was mentioned by the Evil Queen in an apple red as blood. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we hear that again.
Well, it comes from the French parler, which means to speak. So, and it's a derivative of that. And it's been spelled a couple different ways. I mean, there is actually the word parlez-vous, like do you speak, which is spelled P-A-R-L-E-Z. But I believe this is P-A-R-L-E-Y, which is parler, which is just a variation of the spelling.
I did, and I know it's happened before, but I did kind of have a Star Trek II moment when they, when Khan communicated over and said, you know, I want to discuss the terms of your giving up.
What's surrender. That
word? Surrender. And, you know, they said about that movie that it was a maritime type of underpinning of a sci-fi movie. But it was interesting, you know, parlay, discussing surrender, you know, and Queen Regina was just like, what? Oh, no, bless you. I'm not going to surrender. What are you, crazy? You know, that kind of a thing. So, but yeah, that was interesting. And the... Let's see. Cora pulled a trick that Rumpel would have pulled, in that she did something, and by impersonating Regina, and looks like it killed Archie. And so when people saw things around that, they would believe it.
Right.
And what I mean by that is Rumpelstiltskin always did something where people needed something. For instance, he would always play on, well, even tonight we saw the Evil Queen. So he wanted to find Bay, and the only way to do that would be to get out of this magical land into a land without magic.
Because
which
that's
is
where Bay
that's probably
was.
Where Bay's ended up.
Right.
And so the only way to do that is get someone who is so passionate, so angry, so mad, and he goes, well, the queen.
Right.
That's it. And so
who has the most to gain from doing that?
Puts and, bugs in her ear and mentions certain things and all that. So, and Cora kind of plays the same game impersonating or looking like someone else to do certain things and never be detected.
She learned from the master.
Anyway, right.
Which, by the way, the minute she walked up there, it was late. And I was like, why is Regina going to talk to Archie so late? And then when Pongo started barking at her, I'm like, that's not Regina. It can't be, because Pongo doesn't bark at Regina, because he didn't bark at Regina when she confronted Archie on the pier. So it was kind of a giveaway, was if it had really been Regina, Pongo would not have barked.
But that's anyway. We saw another scene on the pier tonight, so that's three. That's Emma and August and Henry and Jefferson, and now the little stroll.
Yeah.
Archie was strolling. And change came up a lot tonight. Change.
Oh, yeah.
And tacos. Two things came up.
Tacos,
yeah. It came up a lot.
Tacos came up quite a bit, yes. And I did love, I thought it was very funny at the party, at the celebratory party, that when Emma said, wow, it's nice to know that I made something that I didn't have to kill.
Right.
Granny goes, yeah, in our world, Meatloaf was a bitch. Mm-hmm. Was hilarious,
yep.
Especially because Meatloaf, I mean, let's face facts.
Right.
Either you love it or you hate it. And if you've got a really good recipe for it, you might like it. But it is kind of one of those iffy, questionable dishes, which I thought was very funny. Anyway.
Emma did the right thing. You know, if you think back to the Queen of Hearts episode, you know, that was the one thing that I think sticks in everybody's craw. I mean, there probably some people that say, no, Regina shouldn't have gone to the dinner because of this and that and something else. But Emma did the right thing.
She totally did.
She helped us out, and I'm inviting her. And
plus, Henry wanted it. And I think that was the other thing, is that she wanted things to go smoothly, because she knows that with Henry, it's going to be a trick, because he does understand and see that Regina has been trying to change. And yet, you know, she is, I'm sure, on some level, a little bit afraid that she could lose Henry to Regina, because, you know, I mean, technically,
right,
by legal standards, he does belong to Regina. But I think that she did the right thing, because I think she knows what would make Henry happy. And I think that's really her goal right now.
I wrote, Emma did the right thing. And then I said, a chance. She wanted to give Regina a chance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same language that she used with giving up Henry.
Right.
Giving his best chance. When Snow and Charming put Emma in the wardrobe,
right,
they wanted to give her best chance,
right,
apart from the thing, the dark curse. And so chance, you know, is another thing. Give them a chance. And it's interesting, we don't want to go off on a tangent, but children can teach their parents a thing or two. And mm-hmm. I think Emma had that opportunity to kind of go on in a limb. And I know things went back and forth as the show progressed.
Right, I
understand that. But, you know, I wrote change is hard, you know, because we talked about it with the last episode. You know, you do right things and you make decisions that kind of go opposite of maybe how you normally act or react, or certain things in your life, you know, whether it's weight or anything else. Change is hard, because mm-hmm. you settle into it, and it's who you are. But, you know, changing, making those steps, you know, number one, for you is hard, but then the people around you, that's hard as well.
Right. It's not easy on anybody.
And, you know, and then I wrote in confidence, and that's a whole, you know, peer discussion. And I remember when Emma was telling Regina that, I said, oh no, don't say that. You know, well, Archie said this and Archie said that. And I said, please don't, that's bad. I know that's not going to end well.
No, it's not. And that's the whole point, is that, yeah, Regina rightfully on some level went to Archie and said, what's going on? You're talking about, you're telling tales. How do I know that you're not, you know, saying all my little secrets? And what's interesting is Archie did, you know, point out to her, and he probably should have told Emma, don't tell anybody I said this to you, but by the way. But the fact is, him saying that she was coming to him, I don't know whether that does violate doctor-patient confidentiality. I don't know. My grandmother was a psychologist, and if she were around, I could ask her. But my guess is that not really supposed to even say who's coming to see you, just that you have patients and,
sure,
you know, so that I think there's a little bit of the, you know, questionable, and Regina, I mean, it was kind of snarky, but it was really funny, you know, when she said, yeah, you got your PhD from a curse.
Right.
So, you know, cause he pulled out his professional opinion. It was like, yeah, you got it from a curse, dude. So there was definitely stuff that shouldn't have happened on both sides.
And she told Red to take herself for a walk. That was kind of funny.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
But I, you know, Emma and Snow and Charming in Storybrooke, I think, represent the two types of fans about Regina. But I think in life in general, I think there are certain types of people that are very justice-oriented. They want justice, right and wrong, black and white. That's it. And, you know, that's it. And other people are like, gray, compassion, hold on just 1 minute. Just let's take 1 second here. And you know, Snow showing compassion, I thought, was really incredible. And yeah, again, you know, Emma the same way. You know, in certain instances.
Well,
you know,
that's because Emma's one of those people that she can tell, until you prove her otherwise, she's going to go with her gut. And she was right. She was honestly right the whole time. Unfortunately, the reason is they don't know Cora's in Storybrooke. So if they had known she was there, that would have been a whole different ballgame. But because they don't know, I think that's what's going to be the interesting thing for the next few episodes until it's revealed that she's there. That's going to be real interesting. But I did love the fact that Emma was reading Regina while that whole thing was going on. And Regina did, I mean, I honestly did feel so bad for Regina because I knew it wasn't her. Just because I knew, but also because I knew that she's sitting there, you know, feeling like, wait a second, you know, here I'm really trying to change. And I did appreciate that Emma was explaining to David and Mary Margaret that, you know, look, she's trying to change. She just wants everybody to see that. I don't think she did this because she had no idea Archie was dead. So I think that was, I thought that was really just a fantastic scene. It was very difficult. And I understand their side of things too, because I mean, they're going from the past, you know, that's all they know. And they were basically asleep for 28 years. And so what they last remember of Regina is her trying to kill him.
Yeah.
You know, trying to ruin their wedding, trying to ruin everything, and basically taking, you know, their child from them. So it was understandable on both sides of the fence, but I thought it was a great scene. And I really did feel badly for Gina.
Yeah. So to me, two things came to mind, and I want to at least kind of say it, and we'll dive back into it. Number one, this reminded me of a Catherine-ish arc. In that we don't know the whole story. Something happened, and then someone's on the hook for it, pardon the pun. And so we're going to spend some time kind of sifting this out, figuring out, you know, how are they going to find out, you know, so because we did see Hook and Cora on the roof.
Right.
Or we saw Hook on the roof.
She was there too.
Okay. And then we saw them on the pier out by the ship there, the
right.
dock.
Right.
And that kind of thing. And then, of course, we saw her in Archie's office. But, you know, no one per se. You know, and the only thing I'll say is I did write it down. I hope I don't say it again. But David said he could feel Mary Margaret and Emma in the other realm. Now, I don't know if he said that to kind of just placate Henry and just calm him down.
I don't think so.
Or if, in fact, because I watched it again, and you got the sense that he actually did feel them. And then maybe there is some magic in a way in David, Prince Charming.
What I think is, and this is reality because I've actually experienced this myself, many years ago, actually almost 30 years ago, I can't even believe it. My aunt was very ill. She had diabetes, and she was getting close to losing her eyesight, and just she had a lot of health problems. And she was very young. But my mom took my sister and some friends of ours and I to a local amusement park, not Disneyland. And we spent the day there, and I can recall very distinctly standing in line for one of the rides, one of the best rides, you know, the big roller coaster, the big thrill coaster. And we're standing there, and all of a sudden my mom and I kind of got this weird feeling, and we just kind of looked at each other, and they all looked at us and they were like, what's going on? I'm like, something's not right. They go, what do you mean? I go, I don't know. I can't explain it, but it's just something's not right. And I looked at my watch because I was trying to figure out, you know, was it we were hungry? No, we just had lunch a couple hours before, so couldn't be that. Long story short, when we got home from that afternoon, we walked up to the house. My dad came outside and he told us my aunt had died. And it was traumatic because she was like my best friend in the whole wide world, so it was very traumatic. But then I asked him what time, and he told me, and it was the exact same time I looked at my watch that we were all feeling very weird. It was within a few minutes of that. So I think that when David says he can feel them, I think there is a connection. Okay. Like I can tell, you know, if something's not right with and it used to be stronger with me. I could tell when something wasn't right with my family and my friends, the people I really loved, because I would all of a sudden just get this urge to just go talk to them or find them or what have you.
Right.
And so I think that's the whole point of it. I don't know if it's magic. I mean, maybe that's what they're trying to say. But I think that when you love somebody like a lot, you kind of have a sense of what's going on with them, even when you're not with them. You can sense them. You can tell when something's not right. So that's what I think is going on. Now, the reason he can't feel Cora is he has no love
right,
her.
Right.
So that's why I'm saying I don't think he can sense that, because I don't think David has a whole lot of magic in him.
But true. But there's enough magic in that town and enough people
there
that have
is.
Magic in that town. You know, it's and it's kind of like the, you know, Vader on the Death Star, you know. I sense something that I haven't sensed since
right.
whatever.
Right.
You know, and so he knew something. I know it's a different thing, but it's
it
just, you know, when you have people with this kind of magical perception feeling thing,
well,
then maybe. So
okay,
anyway.
But let's face facts. Ruby sensed something wasn't right. She sensed there was a problem when she, you know, when Pongo, especially when Pongo came over, but even when she saw Regina, she sensed something was not right.
Right.
So there's that sense, but she couldn't put her finger on it because, again, nobody expects that there's any possible way for Cora to come through. They yeah. figure they're safe from her because they, you know, Mary Margaret and Emma took the, you know, took
right.
away the any possible chance that she could have come through. As far as they know, they don't know about the magic bean. They don't remember about the magic bean.
Right.
So, I mean, if they put two and two together, eventually they'll figure it out, or Rumple will. But point is, they don't believe Cora's there because they don't think that there's any possible way she could get there.
Yep.
So
the second thing I was going to say is that this episode reminded me a lot of a sneak peek. Now, let me give you a great example. There was a sneak peek about Broken, when Regina stepped out of her door and said something like, you know, I'm back, the queen is back, that kind of thing, and kind of motioned her hands like power, and people were kind of falling or
ducking.
Trying to ducking, dodging,
mm-hmm.
and they stopped it. And you kind of get the idea that, man, she has power, she has magic. But then after, they kind of stood up and said, and so that's kind of what we experienced tonight. You know, is they even with the Dreamcatcher, which was a great connection
oh,
to
yeah.
Broken and a Tallahassee,
right.
that thing, and her love, is that they only saw the bit up to the reveal of Cora. You know, and so when I said the Catherine-esque kind of arc is that's going to be the unraveling, is how are they going to discover that,
right?
You know, Belle knows people's true self, and I think that she's going to come into play, because even Adam and Eddie said that in their podcast about Belle, that's mm-hmm. her gift. So
nice.
I'm thinking that that might be used something.
Well, and so. The thing that kind of bugged me is, okay, so they got Pongo, but they didn't get Ruby in there to ask Ruby if she could understand him, because the wolf thing, you'd think she would be able to understand
right.
him, because dogs are descended from
mm-hmm.
wolves.
Right.
So I thought that was kind of interesting that they didn't go that route, and I guess maybe that would make it too easy, but maybe at some point that will also come into play later. Maybe Ruby will have a conversation with somebody and they'll figure it out. And what kills me too is they didn't do any kind of like checking to make sure that that's really Archie.
Well,
I mean, it looks like him, but anyway,
what's funny is this town, Storybrooke, especially after the initial dark curse was broken,
mm-hmm.
is that they really kind of started over. You know, Emma, God bless her, she's really not a, you know, sheriff. You know, she's a bounty hunter.
Yeah.
And even David, you know, he's a prince and that kind of thing. So I think they're really working hard to kind of put this whole thing together and to get it all working together.
Right.
And this is a really weird situation. You've got
yeah.
people that see things and smell things and hear things. And it's just, it's a whole new can of fun. So the, I noticed that Queen Regina was locked in a tower like Belle was.
Yeah.
So that was kind
yeah.
of an interesting correlation. And, you know, Regina's father, Henry, came to see her and was basically begging her to change. You know, I mean, he's always been the, you know, whatever you need.
The reason?
Well, no, he's been, you know, whatever
oh,
will
oh,
make
I
you happy.
Saying.
Whatever will make you happy. But this time it was, look, I don't think you can get out of this. You need to change. I'm begging you. Just do something. So that was an interesting twist, because otherwise he would have begged. He would have asked, on her behalf. But let's see. So Regina in Storybrooke was taken to the same office that Mary Margaret was questioned in.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we see this whole circle.
Well, that's the interrogation room, I'm sure.
Right. But I'm just saying, you know, one side and then the other. One side and then the other.
Yeah.
And so, you know, where in one point of her life she put Mary Margaret in that position to kind of hang her, in a matter of speaking, mm-hmm. for what happened to Catherine. Now she's in that position. So, you know, I think part of compassion is empathy, where you get the idea of, and you feel for somebody else, you know.
Well, no, that's sympathy.
Right.
Empathy is feeling what they feel. So if somebody's happy, you feel happy for them, even though you don't have any real reason to feel happy. That's empathy.
Yeah. Well, sympathy, is it walking a mile in their shoes, that kind of a thing.
That is empathy.
Right.
Yeah. So sympathy is feeling sorry for them because you're feeling badly for, or you're feeling happy for whatever they're feeling, but you're not feeling that emotion yourself. You just have an understanding, so to speak.
So Snow is basically taking Charming to task and saying, no, I knew her before. Yeah, but I knew her all this time. It's like, no, you didn't know her when I was younger. She saved my life. You know, that kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We need to give her a chance to change. And they just didn't trust her. They didn't trust in the possibility that she could change. Now, her little speech, before the archers, that really wasn't the best move to get released.
It was
honest. And I love the way Snow went to bat for her and explained she would never, as a queen, even by marriage and all that, a queen would never do that. Say, I'm so sorry for whatever. She had to appear regal. Look, like it or not, she's a queen and she rules. And so Snow really had some great insight and said, you don't understand. She would never, you know, act that way and say that, you know. So it was really interesting that Snow kind of became the compassionate side of things. And there's two types of fans of Regina.
Mm-hmm.
There's a compassionate side. No, you don't, all the hate that you're giving Regina, no, you don't see the other side of her. And then there's the justice side. It's like, nope, she deserves all the trouble that she's getting, all the trouble that she caused everybody and all that kind of thing. So the two sides were pretty well represented.
We didn't really talk about her capture in the first place and how they tricked her into.
That's what I meant. The Rumpelstiltskin thing without the pin. It was that whole meeting someone and then they got her. It was kind of like Rumpelstiltskin signing that thing with Ashley.
Yes, 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 yes.
So
yes,
that's what I meant.
Yes.
Yeah.
So because when Regina went after Snow in the forest because she was riding separately, it shocked me, and I didn't even think about that either. But it shocked me that Regina didn't figure that was a trap.
Yeah,
she underestimated, you know, their intelligence, their determination.
Well, she was tricked twice.
Yeah, she was.
There and then also in the cell area when Snow let her out and all that.
I wasn't a trick. That was a test.
But
it was a test. There's a difference.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a difference. She wasn't set up to fail. She was set up to make a choice, and she chose poorly. Whereas in the forest, she was tricked into it because they made her think she was going to have Snow all to herself and she was going to be able to kill her. So
Snow and Blue Fairy,
mm-hmm.
stopped the execution. Snow couldn't stop it because the arrows were fired.
They were launched, right.
But mm-hmm. the Blue Fairy stop the arrows before they hit her.
Right.
And, you know, it's very interesting. And then that mirrors the scene in front of Regina's house in Storybrooke later.
Right, exactly.
When they were going to use the Blue Fairy and her power to entrap Regina.
And Regina was waiting for it because she'd seen that trick before.
And Regina did a little Yoda trick where she grabbed the power and kind of put it into a ball and then threw it away.
Yeah.
I mean, those very Star Wars. But yeah, I thought it was that whole archery scene with Regina was very Braveheartish. I also kind of got flashes of, you know, other countries with other types of law and justice. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's been a while since we've seen that type of, you know, firing squad kind of thing. But in other parts of the world, it's still
done
going on. But yeah, it was just very, in a way, was Braveheartish to me.
Yeah, it was actually.
It was interesting. Rumpelstiltskin sitting on the, I believe I need to double check, the king's throne. In that little, you know, kind of area there.
Where Charming was sitting.
Yeah. And she didn't even say, I'm being judged by my past. And I think that was a really telling thing. You know, when you're talking about change, when you're talking about somebody who is trying to make a change in their life, whether it's drugs, alcohol, or whatever it is, that many times it's so easy to create someone's, who we know them as their past, what they've said in the past, what they've done in the past, you know. And it's like anybody who's making any kind of change, it's like, but I'm better now. It's like, no, your past, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Well, and it's, and again, it's a little harder to forget that when it's a repeat behavior. You know, somebody who has an accident once, okay, that happens. But somebody who keeps making the same mistakes over and over and over, purposely, intentionally misbehaving, you kind of have a tough time thinking they're ever going to change because, again, old habits die hard. I thought that for sure cliche was going to come up, old habits die hard. I really thought at one point Regina was going to say that with the, you know, walking out of Granny's out of the party, which was highly hilarious, by the way. I thought that party was very funny. It amused me.
Yeah. So it was interesting when they confronted Rumpel and Mr. Gold in his shop that he actually wants to change too. You know, so he and Regina are kind of on the same path to redemption, if you will.
Right.
Obviously, you know, Mr. Gold is working for Belle's affections. He knows that, you know, she loves him.
Yeah.
But, you know, so, and it's funny. You know, Emma said it's easy evidence, and it is easy evidence. You know, you just, you know, Ruby saw Regina go into the door to go see Archie, and then Archie is dead up in the office. So it's kind of like, I saw her go up there.
Right. But you know, again, but what time was the time of death? How, you know, was Ruby there watching the whole night? Somebody else could have come in afterwards, for all she knows. I mean, you know, with magic around, people being able to pop in and out everywhere, who knows whether Regina was able, why would Regina go in the door? There's so much that, you know, and I think that's from me watching a ton of Law and Order and other crime shows, you know, cop shows, that it's like Emma said, that was just too easy. That was just too obvious.
Right.
And it was obvious that she was being set up. And again, the natural instinct is everyone says, okay, well, it must have been Mr. Gold then. Because who else would want to do that? But then I love that Mary Margaret even said, well, there's a long laundry list, including me. So I thought that was kind of interesting that she almost implicated herself, even though we know it wasn't her and everybody else knows it wasn't her. But it was just one of those things you just kind of go, wow. Yeah, I mean, at least they kind of started to think, well, maybe there is a possibility she was being set up. So I thought it was really good that they listened to Emma.
There's a new batch of fairy dust. That's interesting. I thought that all the fairy dust was gone, but obviously not.
Well, it sounds to me like when they found that first batch of it that was just in one section of the mine. Well, remember, there's tons more tunnels.
I understand that.
You know, so they've got to be harvesting it other places.
But I mean, it was funny. I mean, the look on Leroy's face was like, it's gone. It's mm-hmm. all gone. So even, you know, even the dwarves, when they're mining, you know, I know that there's more mines, but it was kind of like, I guess it's a big deal when they find a vein of diamonds. So,
which is funny, but anyway.
So, yeah, snow is very powerful. And it was interesting to see Snow kind of usurp orders from the prince, and also Emma usurping orders from her parents.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they both kind of took charge and made other decisions, you know, when, you know, it was very, very, very touching. And I think very cool when Snow opened that cell door,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I think a lot of, you know, certain religions would, you know, kind of align with that whole idea of setting somebody free from things that they've done. You know, and but it was really, really cool when she opened that door and let her out.
Mm-hmm.
Said, "I'm showing you mercy."
Yeah.
It's just so, so cool. And you know, it was when she was talking to Regina, it's like, you know, why are you here? And that, and she said, you know, basically like Luke said to Vader, I know there's good in you. Mm-hmm. I know there is. You know, I feel the conflict. That's what Luke said. And so it was kind of neat, you know, that kind of correlation too. But change is hard. It's not, I wrote down just like that. It's not just like that.
No, it's not.
you hope so.
Everybody wishes it were. We live in a microwave society.
Yeah.
Problem is that, and I think we've even said this on the podcast before, really good things take time.
Right. So, you know, and the whole dialogue that they had, Snow and Regina, I saved your life and now you saved mine, I saved your life. Now we're even.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they banished her. She cannot attack them and kill them.
Right.
So they're protected. And
In fairy tale world.
And I wrote down a who you will always be. So again, we come to this idea of, you know, people really hope about change and they really try. But sometimes people come back and they go, nope, you're always going to be who you are. And that's, anyway, that's the struggle of life, I think, humanity. But the question is, who did Cora kill? Because she said, I don't know who I killed, just somebody. But
yeah.
the real Archie's down in this hold of the ship.
Hold of the ship, dude. That was so epic when I saw that. Because what bothered me the most about myself is when I saw Archie in there lying dead on the floor, I'm like, they can't do this to him. They can't just kill him off. That would suck so badly. They cannot kill Archie. No. And I was more mad than anything else. I wasn't like sad. I wasn't crying. Like normally I'd be bawling my head off thinking they'd killed him off. But something in me said, wait. Catherine. Another case of Catherine.
Right, right.
Which actually begs the question, where is Catherine?
Right. Where's Catherine? How's Sneezy doing? You know, there's a bunch of questions.
Yeah.
One of the scenes that we really didn't talk about, and I want to mention, and then we'll end, is unless you have something. But the scene outside of Granny's when Regina left the party.
Yeah.
And some sparks flew. You know, when Emma let her have it about, you know, who's the real mother. And
she retorted back.
You know, normally in these type of dramas with a little bit of soap opera-y stuff, you get this, you know, kind of back and forth, and then somebody storms off. But I really, really love the extra edge when Regina kind of went, wait, hold on. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. That was wrong. You know, and Emma, you know, same thing. Yeah, yeah, me too. You know, let's. I mean, you don't get those type of moments in regular soap opera dramatic shows.
Right.
And I really, really love that. There were so many moments that I went, this is so great. Such a great, great show. That it's really kind of taking you down this path of change. And mm-hmm. and there's so many other situations where they show you the messiness of love and obsession and these different things. You know, they're giving you these signs of be careful. Now you know you want this magic, you want it. It's power, but it costs you something.
It comes with a price.
And be careful, you know. And so we see the outburst. And then normally it's cut into the next day, and then this, you know, emotional steam cooker just keeps building. But then, you know, tonight we saw, look, I'm sorry. That was wrong. You know, let's kind of work this out. You know, and I was just so great, you know.
I did love the fact that Emma was trying as much as, you know, Regina is, because again, Emma has reason to not like her and not trust her. I mean, look at their relationship from the beginning. You know, Emma just doing the nice thing, bringing the kid back, and then Regina freaking out and, you know, trying to basically cause trouble for her. And then Emma saying, you want to fight? You got one. Cutting down her, you know, limb off of her tree. I mean, there's just been this horrible, you know, rah, 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 spat, spat, spat. And the fact is they realize that they both, you know, need to get along somewhat for Henry's sake, because it is Henry that's going to be, you know, traumatized. Another scene we didn't talk about was Regina watching in the rearview or the side
right,
mirror
right.
while Emma told Henry what had happened to Archie. That was gut wrenching for me. Mm-hmm. That actually mm-hmm. broke my heart for Regina. I actually felt such mm-hmm. empathy for her, because I was thinking, God, you know, it's, I know eventually they're going to figure out the truth, because they should, because good always wins. But it just really just tore my heart out for poor Regina, because, you know, here she has no way to prove that she didn't do it. Because anything she does at this point, you know, they're going to think, well, it's magic. I mean, she even talked about, why are you trusting Rumpelstiltskin? You know, he could have fooled you with magic, you know. It just,
right.
it was just, but that whole thing was just so gut-wrenching, you know. And I felt bad for Henry, because Henry really liked Archie.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's so many layers to this. It's just so many layers. It was such an excellent episode. I mean, honestly, it really was such a great episode, and I can't wait to watch it again, actually.
Now, there's a part of me that really enjoys screen captures and looking in the background and kind of counting things and looking and this and that. But I'm telling you, I really got engaged with the story and the mm-hmm. characters and the journey of, you know, Regina and Emma, you know, and everybody else. But it was just, it was a good, good, good show.
Yeah, it was tonight. A great episode. So, fantastic.
So thank you so much for listening, downloading, playing it on the website, however you heard this. I want to thank you for that. Before we go, I want to do one more thing. I want you to send me an email and in the subject line. Now, this is not for the show. These are not going to be read on the show. So go ahead and send your emails to that you want to be read on the show without this in the subject line. But I want you to put Jeff's request in the subject line. And this is, what do you really like about the podcast and what you really don't like in the podcast? Okay. So we really want to focus on what we do well Mm-hmm. I can't promise that we're going to make all the changes. We actually have. There's been a few people that have said, make the shows about an hour. And that's why we've cut the live show into two parts. You know, sometimes I hit an hour. Sometimes it goes a little bit over. But I've really tried. You know, somebody sent me an email saying, you need to use Levelator. And I use Levelator, you know, because it's, you know, it's better for the ear when you're mm-hmm. listening to your headphones. So we want to focus on what we do well and maybe not do as much or things that maybe we don't do as well. You know, I think we're going to be trying to focus more on, you know, maybe the details of the show. But there's only so much time in a week, and we got jobs and everything else. We do not want to cover other ground that other podcasts are doing. But, you know, I do see that, you know, there's certain things that I think we can do when we discuss, you know, on the live show more in depth with the episode. So, anyway, let us know, and we'll kind of move forward and make some decisions because, you know, sure, we can do interviews, but what do we ask? What do you want to hear? What's interesting to you? So the videos are a lot of fun. If you haven't checked them out, it's youtube.com/DVR Storybrook. So that I think is pretty interesting that we're doing. But anyway, I want to send big love out to everybody. Please call in your voicemails and send in your emails. And we will be talking together soon. And we will have a live show this Saturday. So anyway, thanks, everybody. Take care. Have a great week. And we'll talk at you soon.
Bye.
See you guys. Bye-bye.
Thank you for being a part of this podcast. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. This is Wayne Henderson, the voice of the Once Upon a Time fan podcast. And if you want to know more about how my voice acting services might work for you, check out MediaVoiceOvers.com. And now, all of us here at Roni's Own Media and MediaVoiceOvers.com look forward to sharing the love and enjoyment of the Once Upon a Time TV show next time. Take care.